good to have everybody here. It's just good. Don't you feel good about everything? I mean, things are going great for everybody. And you say, no, they're not. Well, we need to change the way we're going then and go a different way. Tonight, I want us to look at a lesson that, and maybe you've heard this little saying here before, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Boy, if I could get that in my head, would it save me a lot of heartache? We like to think that we can change anything. But there's some things we just are not going to be able to change. And we have to understand that and quit trying to fight that and go on with something else. God has things He wants us to do, but there are things in this world that we can't do. And we have to realize that. Sometimes we preachers kind of leave the impression that you can just change anything you want to, but not necessarily. We've got to learn to accept some things in our life that are there that we can do nothing about. And so we're going to have to do that. But isn't that a hard thing to do? I want to change things. I want things to be different. And it doesn't bother me at all to say that because that's what we're supposed to do. We have, some people use the term change agents in our society today. I wish they'd have changed that word because we're supposed to be people that change. Now, I understand what they're saying, but I also understand what Romans 12 is trying to say, that we need to not conform to the world, but we need to transform the world. That means that we need to be changing things. We need to be growing. We need to be different. We need to be stronger in the faith this year than we were last year. And that needs to happen every year so that we can learn to trust in God. It's hard to admit it, but there's things we cannot change that we're going to have to learn to live with. Now, that doesn't mean that there's some things that we don't need to change that we can change. The wisdom is, as the little poem goes, that we need to know the difference in those things and to be able to change in the right way. We've got to admit that there's problems. We've got to admit that there's difficulty. Some people won't admit that there's a problem. They just will not do that. Some people, sometimes leaders, they won't take advice that will help them to go the right way and to be able to do the things in a different way. Have you ever had somebody when you would explain to them this is the way it needs to be done and then they're going to do it their way and it's going to mess it up? And you just want to say to them, I told you how to do it. Do it that way and it's over with. But they just don't want to do it. Well, we've got to understand. We've got to listen to direction. We've got to listen to what God says within His Word so that it can help us. Now listen at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything. Whoa. Stop right there and say, I don't know about the rest of this passage may be easier, but that part right there is really, really hard. Don't worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need. It said, listen, I understand this idea of asking God, but sometimes God doesn't give it to me when I want it. He doesn't give it to me how I want it. And I've got to learn to live with that. I've got to learn to live in such a way. But we need to be praying to God for everything we need, always giving thanks for whatever He gives us. Be thankful for everything God gives you. I think we need to even be thankful for the problems that we have. Because sometimes we learn more in difficulties than we do when things are going good. And so we need that. And he goes on to say, And God's peace, which is so great, we cannot understand it. How God is able to give us peace in the midst of trouble is hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to comprehend. And then he goes on that it will keep your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. See, that's the thing. We've got to think like the Lord. We've got to consider things as the Lord considers those things. And as we do that, it's going to help us to develop and be better people. How can we be people that we appreciate the promises of God? How can we appreciate what God has given to us? How can we realize that there's some things we can't change, that we just have to ask God for His help, and we have to go on? And I want to talk about some of those things tonight. Now, the first thing we need to do is we need to remember that the primary responsibility of every person that is a child of God is to obey God. That's it. That's our responsibility. That will help us to solve most of the problems that we have in this life. If we will understand that it's our responsibility to obey what God wants. Now listen to Jeremiah 29 verse 11. This is God speaking. He said, I have for you thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God says, listen, what I have for you is a great gift. It is to give you peace. It is to give you hope. It is to help you to know the right way to go and to go that way and then look up to God and be so proud of it. Can't you see a little fella following his daddy and his daddy tells him to do something? The little guy does it and he does it right. And he looks up at his daddy and his daddy says, son, you did good. Whoa. If you're the son, you really feel good. If you're the father, you really feel good too. Let me tell you something. God's the same way. When he sees us doing what's right, he is thankful. He is glorified because of it. Just, you know, we talk about Job and the conversation that God had with Satan. And Satan's in heaven talking to God. And God's bragging just a little bit about Job, his servant. Where you been, God says to the devil? Oh, I've been on earth walking around, seeking whom I may devour, if you come over to the New Testament. He said, did you see my servant Job there? He said, yeah, I saw him. Here we go again. You're going to brag about him. And God does. Why? You look at the life of Job. He was a man who wanted to do the will of God. He's a man that wanted to serve God. He's the man that had in his heart to do what God would ask him to do no matter what. And God was thrilled with him. Do you realize that God is happy with you when you follow His will, when you do what He wants you to do? We need to ask the Lord for His wisdom. If we don't have wisdom, ask God to help us to gain wisdom. And then when we see things that will help us, be willing to do that. Be willing to do those things that are going to help us to have wisdom and have courage to be able to do what's right. It takes courage to be a child of God. It takes courage to stand up against others when they're telling you, don't worry about that. There's nothing wrong with that. And you're saying, no, it's not right. I can't do that. And you're the only one that's speaking up. It takes courage. But we've got to know to do that. Don't try to run ahead of God. Don't try to run and work things out. Remember the story of Abraham and 25 years, something like that, when the first promise was made about him having a son and he didn't have one, and they tried to run ahead of God. They tried to give him a son. It ended up in trouble, and we're still suffering because of that problem. And we'll continue to do that for as long as time exists, I'm afraid. But we need to be people that we're willing to understand and recognize that God has a plan for our life. And I don't mean that God's directing everything you do. God has a plan for your life. You want me to tell you what it is? To believe in Him, to serve Him, and to live in a joyous way on this earth. That's what God has in store for you. That's what He wants for you. He has that in the plan for everybody. Now, we can work within His plan or we can go against His plan. Our problem is that sometimes we go against His plan when maybe we need to learn to give up, to give in, to give over, and to allow God to be the one that directs our life. The first duty we have is to believe God and to serve God and to do His will. That's what we've got to do. Now, look at the second thing here. We've got to be people that we are willing to remember that Jesus Christ is the one that we need to follow. Jesus has never made a promise that He has not kept. He 100% has always kept His word. We've got to remember that things are going to work out for God's glory no matter what happens to us. God's going to be glorified. In the final thing there, if I follow the will of God, I will be able to share in that glory. If I go my own way, then I'm going to share in the depravity of not following God. I've got to be willing to do what God wants me to do. I've got to always be on God's side. I've got to always be on the side of Jesus Christ. I've got to know His will. I've got to do His will. Jesus didn't spend His time. It bothers me every time I hear preachers talk about this. Jesus was trying to come in and straighten out the Roman government. I'm going to tell you something. He really didn't care about the Roman government. It wasn't what He was trying to do. Now, please don't think He did not care about people that were suffering, that were hurting. He did. But He cared about the souls of people more than anything else. See, we think Christianity is for this world. Christianity is started in this world. It ends up in heaven. That's where it's at. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 4, verses 31, 32. It is like a mustard seed, talking about the kingdom. A mustard seed is a little bitty, bitty seed. You know what a tomato seed is? Well, a mustard seed's smaller than that. It's just a little bitty thing. He said, now, this is a little thing. When it is sown on the ground, it's the smallest of all of the seeds on the earth. It's the little seed that's there. But when it is grown, it grows up and it becomes greater than all herbs. And the shoots out large branches so that the birds are able to come and build their nest in the shadows. Now, he's saying here, what I'm trying to do is to establish a kingdom that's not of this world. You know, when Jesus was there with Pilate and he was talking to him, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my soldiers would fight and you'd lose. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. You see, the people at that time thought that Jesus was going to destroy their kingdoms. He doesn't destroy a kingdom. He's not trying to destroy America. He's not trying to destroy Russia. He's not trying to destroy any country. What he's trying to do is to get everybody to be his child and follow his way. That's what he wants more than anything else. That's what he's trying to do. And that's what he wants to do. His kingdom is not something that's going to compete with the governments in this world that we have today. That's not what he's doing. He's trying to have a kingdom that is going to be, it's going to cross all political lines. Do you know you could be a person that you might believe in communism and still be a child of God? You say, now wait a minute, I don't know about that. There have been people in Russia for years that were Christians, that were serving God. You hear this East European people talk about having to sneak Bibles in, all this. There were people there that served God. In fact, it speaks of here that they were Christians in the house of the Caesars at that time. They were dwelling there. They were being faithful to God. They were serving God. They were doing God's will. He wasn't there to destroy a government. He was there to help people to know how to go to heaven. That's what he wanted to do more than anything else. That's what he was trying to do more than anything else, is to help people to know what it was to be a part of heaven, to know what it was to be a child of God and to serve God, to do his will. Now, look at this. We need to be people that we remember the promises of God. We remember what God has promised. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 20, and I'm going to get a little bit of 20 and 21. The yes to all of God's promises is in Christ. Now just think about that. The yes of all of God's promises are in Christ. All the promises were based upon Christ coming and Christ dying. All the promises that God had for people that were people of God was found in Jesus Christ. Remember, God is the one who makes you and us strong in Christ. He's saying God's the one that gives you the strength that you have. God's the one that gives you the courage to be able to go on, to be able to fight the battles you've got to fight. If we inventory all of the prophecies that are made, all the promises that are made, all of them are going to come true. There's not a promise that Jesus Christ and God have made that will not come true. And we need to remember those promises. Sometimes if we could just take and I've thought about this, maybe us taking a quarter and just talking about the promises that God has made, and we may do that. Look at the promises that God's made. What God has said, I'll do for you, and He'll do that. And we need to know He'll fulfill every one of them. We need to know that He'll do everything no matter what. He'll keep His word. Now, look at this. We need to remember God's priorities. You know, we have to understand that there's a lot of good things that need to be done. But there's some things that we might not get to do. There's some things that we might need to do. But we've got to understand that there's some actions that are not essential. There's some things that we can do or not do. But there's some things that are essential to God. There's some things that we can even disagree on as Christians. I've heard in the past, Brother Gus Nichols and Tom Warren, both of them are past now, older preachers, and them discuss whether the Holy Spirit dwells in you or where He doesn't dwell in you. Had nothing to do with gifts or miraculous gifts. And they both attested that that was not something. But is He there? Is He not there? And I've heard them discuss that for 3 or 4 hours. And they were still friends. They disagreed on that. But they didn't have to be disagreeable. There's some things we've got to agree on, like our worship, the Lord's Supper, our singing, our praying, our service, our evangelization of the people of the world, teaching the gospel, helping people to know the right way to go and being able to do that, planting and growing churches. That's something that we've got to do. We've got to be willing to follow that. That's got to be a part of us. And when we put God first, we're going to look at those things and be able to judge the things that need to be done and the things that we don't need to be fussing about. We sometimes fuss about things that don't make any difference. And we don't need to do that. That's wasting time and effort and energy. We don't need to do that at all. What we've got to do is to remember we've got to be those people that we are those that understand what God wants us to do, and we're going to put God's will first no matter what we do. And it'll help us to decide whether these things are things that we need to disagree and have some fellowship cut or not. And there's a lot of things we don't need to have our fellowship cut in that maybe we do. Now look at this. We need to remember God is training, has a training program for every one of us. God is trying to train us and teach us how to be Christians. We go to school for years to learn how to be a doctor or a veterinarian or some other kind of work that we're going to do in our life. Linda's got a nephew that he's fixing to go to South Carolina. He's been going to school since he was in kindergarten, and he's just now getting out of school. And he'll be, 35, something like that, 32, 35. And he's been going to school all that time to be a doctor and to specialize in working on the hand. All those years to be a doctor, all that study, all that practice to do that. And when we go to a doctor's office, we want to look up there and say, hey, you know, you did get those degrees. You didn't buy them, didn't you? You know, you can buy those things. I get it all the time on my computer. You know, you can get a doctorate degree. It just costs you $3,500. And you send us the money, we'll send you the degree. And you can get that, but it's not worth anything. You didn't work for that. You didn't prepare yourself for that. You didn't put in the effort that was needed there. We need to remember that God has a training process. And we need to work in that training process to train ourselves so that we can do those things that are right and good. The Lord allows things to come on us that may be hard. And when I was thinking about this a while ago, and I was thinking about the children of Israel. Here they're going to leave Egypt. They're going to go into the promised land. Well, it wasn't easy to go into the promised land. God didn't just throw out food automatically. He waited for those people to ask for that food. He didn't give them water just because they wanted it. Remember, Moses struck a rock when he was supposed to speak to it on one occasion? Because he was upset because the people were griping and fussing about what they didn't get. Why did God want those people to ask him? Why did he think? Why do you think that he thought he needed them to ask him? Why? God knows what you need. I've heard people say this before. If God knows what I need, why do I need to pray? He'll just give it to me. He's a father, and he wants to hear you ask for it. One thing that as a father you need to train your children is how to ask for things. You say, well, I didn't ever train mine. They'll ask for anything. Well, that may be true. But we need to train them when to ask and when not to ask also. But we need to have some kind of program to help people. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. For your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. We think different than God. We think and look at things in a different way than God. What we've got to do is to change the way we think about things and look at how God thinks about things. Sometimes we look and say, that's not a big deal. When God says, yes, it is. It is a big deal. Lord's Supper. Dr. Peppers. I like those. Let's do that in the Lord's Supper next week. Amen. I like it. I got to have diet, though. You know, these diabetics, you know. You say, you can't do that. It's not that big a thing, is it? Is it such a big deal? Well, what has God asked for? That's what God wants. And I can't change that. You can't change that. Nobody can change what God wants. So here he's saying that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Look at the difference here. Look at the contrast here. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Here's the earth down here. Here's the heavens up here. There's a difference in that. But look as he goes on to talk about this. So my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Our thoughts are different than God's. And so what we've got to do is to get ourselves on the process of thinking like God. Now, how do you learn how to think like God? Read His book. That's the thing. If you want to know about God, read the book that talks about it. I see a lot of people, they want to know about God, but they just think up, well, God is this, and God is that, and God is this, and God is that. Read the book. He's the one that wrote it. So read the book. He tells you what he wants and what he doesn't want. We see people that go against things that are written within the Bible, and we think, how can they do that? It's very simple. They don't know that book. They know a little bit of it, but they don't know all of it. Now, you say, well, nobody can know it all. Ah, you're right, but we can try. And we can gather together as people to discuss that. And you may have a thought that might help me to understand what God's Word is saying. And so we can work together on that. We need to remember that. We need to be open to the teaching of God. Sometimes we've already got our minds made up, and we're not going to listen to anything God has to say. We're not going to listen to a thing God has to say. Now let me tell you something. If you're not teachable, you're not going to be able to be a child of God. If you can't change what you think and change your thinking to God's thinking, not your thinking to my thinking, but your thinking to God's thinking, because He's already said that we think differently. And so we've got to think like God would want us to think. The Lord is the one that is trying to mold us and make us into the right thing. He's trying to help us to understand that. Listen to Romans 9, verse 21. The potter has power over the clay. Now here's a fella that you know, he's got a piece of clay here, and he's going to make a pot out of it. It's too much. So he cuts it in half. And he takes one, and he forms that and makes that to where it's a pretty bowl or cup for people to be able to drink out of. Even the king can drink out of it. But he takes that other part of clay, and he makes a bowl to feed the cat or the dog. See, one is a vessel of honor for the king. Another is a vessel of dishonor for the animal. But it's made out of the same clay. Which one does that? God. You say, oh, does God mean that? Does God make me that way? No, we're the clay. We can be formed if we'll allow God to form us. If we'll allow God to use us in the right way, to use what we have, we can be formed into a child of God, that loves the kingdom of God, and wants to do what is right according to that kingdom, and do what God wants us to do. Now, look at this. I'm going to get through with this in a minute. We need to remember godly men and women have endured heartache before. You look at Hebrews 11 and read there about those people of faith. And it's so simple there, but when you go back and start looking at their lives, it wasn't that simple. They followed God's will. They did what God wanted them to do. But we see the problems that they had to deal with. None of those people there received what they were promised immediately. God told the children of Israel, I'm going to give you a promised land. Did they get that the next day? No. They had to wait a while on that. God told Abraham, as we talked a while ago, that he would have a son. 24 or 25 years later, he gets a son. But 24 or 25 years, to me, is not a fast time. That's the reason that we read in this book where it says God's time is not our time. God's day may be 1,000 years, and 1,000 years may be a day with God. God operates on a different time schedule than we do. And we have to understand that. We have to comprehend that. So here in Hebrews 11, we see those people there that they suffered, that they had things that didn't go their way. They had things that they had to give up. They had the things that they had to take on to be God's person. That's through all ages, patriarchal, mosaical, and Christian age. People have got to form themselves to be God's person. Now, look at this. We need to remember that God's grace is sufficient for every one of us. That God's grace is sufficient for all problems that we have to deal with. And so we have to rely on the grace of God. You know, when I think about this, I think about Paul. He had talked in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, the first few verses there, about a man who went up to the third heaven. He talked about a man that heard things up there that he can't repeat on this earth. They just don't need to be said here. We feel that that's Paul talking about going up there, and he receives a message up there. He sees God there. He sees the heavens there. Not just clouds, but he sees the heavenly habitation there and sees all those things before God. And he's able to come back, and he said, boy, that's up there. That's having you up on the top of the mountain. But then he starts in verse 9 of this talking about how that God had given him a thorn in the flesh. This was something that troubled him. He said, I've been to God and I've asked God 3 times to take it away. 3 times to remove this thing. God, I could do more work for you if I didn't have this problem. I could do greater things for you if I didn't have to deal with all this stuff. And he said something that is so significant. But he said to me, my grace is enough. Verse 10, 9 and 10. My grace is enough for you when you are weak. Now think, listen, this is a really important thing. My power is made perfect in you when you're weak. So I am very happy to brag about my weaknesses. Do you want to just get up and tell everybody about how weak you are? That your faith is not as strong as it needs to be? You think Paul did that? He said, I brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me. When I see how weak I am, then Christ's power is found within me. For this reason, I am happy when I have weaknesses, insults, hard times, suffering, and all kinds of trouble for Christ. Because when I am weak, then I am truly strong. When you have no other way to go, you have no other way to turn, there's nothing before you, and you're there, and it's just, you know, nobody can help. What do? As a child of God, you go to God, and you just open up your heart. You forget about all the prayers that you've uttered before that are just the standard prayers, and boy, you just open up your heart to God, and you say, God, this is what I want, and I need this, and I got to have this. I really want this. You know what God's saying? Thank you. Thank you for calling on me. Thank you for leaning on me. Thank you for trusting in me. Thank you for being my child and coming to me. You know, I don't know about you, but it always made me feel real good when the kids came to me and said, listen, I got a problem. Can you help me with this? Now, as a father, sometimes I was able to do it, and sometimes I was not able to do it. And you try to teach them that you don't always get what you want. And making decisions are sometimes hard. But boy, it makes you feel good when they come and ask you about that. Hey, I've even got to the point where I'm asking my kids now, what do I need to do about this? And they'll tell me, and I'll listen. Sometimes I'll listen. But we got to remember this, that God's grace is there for us even in time of trouble, that we need to learn to trust in Him and depend upon Him. Now, there was a... Corrie ten Boom wrote a book several years ago about World War II, where, and this was the hiding place, where she hid people to keep them from being killed in concentration camps or just killed. But now, way before that, her father was trying to explain to her about death. And he was trying to help her to understand that, because the old man knew that she was going to see the death of some people in that country, that it was coming. And he wanted her to prepare for that. Prepare your kids for death, because they're going to have to deal with it. And one day he told her, said, you know, we go to Amsterdam, and when we get on that, before we get on that train, the conductor waits till just before the train's going out, and he says, tickets! And you go up and give him your ticket. She said, yeah, I understand that. He said, he knows when the train's leaving. He knows when you need to go on board. And that's when he gives you your ticket. He said, honey, remember that God knows. And when you get that final ticket, when you see somebody die, your mother or me or someone else, that's when you'll understand. That's when you'll understand that God gives you the things you need when you need them. Look for them. Understand them and know them. Know what you have and rejoice in that. Understand to trust and to depend upon God. Boy, if we could get that, solve a lot of our problems, a lot of our difficulties, a lot of our hurts. It would do that. Accept the things that you can't change. Change the things you can. And thank God for everything. Let Him know you appreciate it all. There's a lot we can't change in this world. There's a lot we can change in this world. But let's be working with God through the whole thing. And that's what I want you to understand.